Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see everybody out today. And get my Bible out here and get ready. If you would turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I'd like to continue on in a little series that we had started some time back. And just as a lead into that, a little story about D.L. Moody. Most of us are familiar somewhat with D.L. Moody. But when he got saved, he had a desire to go to England. That was in 1867. And he went to Bristol, where George Mueller was. And he wanted to... He just had a desire for more, and he couldn't really put his finger on it as for the reading that I came across. And so when he got with Mr. Mueller, he asked him what was like the secret of his ministry. And he said, "I prayed." He said, "That's it." He said, "I prayed." And as he was talking with Mr. Moody, he went on to explain he could tell that really didn't fully satisfy Mr. Moody when Mr. Mueller could tell that when he told him that he just prayed. And so he went on to explain just a little bit more, and he said, "I hear people talking about contacting businessmen and raising support and getting pledges and all of those things." And he said, it's not what you can do for God, but it is what God can do through you. And he went on to explain that to him a little bit, and so that challenged him. And so he went on and he got to go to hear Spurgeon preach, and that challenged him. And something that was said in one of his in the message that he heard challenged him to want to get together with a group of believers that were meeting in a home for prayer, like a cottage home prayer meeting. And he heard the man's name of where the location was, and so he found out the exact address. He ended up going to this home prayer meeting. And at this home prayer meeting was where he was introduced to a man by the name of Mr. Varley. And Mr. Varley asked him why he was there, and he said, "I'm searching. I can't really put my finger on it, but I want more. And I felt like the Lord was directing me to come to this prayer meeting." And so Mr. Varley said, "We'll come in," and they started out. Mr. Varley actually started out with a challenge from God's Word, and the challenge was really inspiring to Mr. Moody as he heard what he had to say. And Mr. Varley said this. He said, this was one of the things that really spoke to Mr. Moody's heart. He said, "We try hard, we fail. We are sure we can succeed if we try harder tomorrow. We fail again. And if we succeed, it's only half success, half of what it would have been with God. We are all guilty. All for what I tell you tonight," and this is what he said that really spoke to Mr. Moody's heart. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man wholly committed to Him." And that really inspired Mr. Moody as they were praying after that message to go before the Lord and to say, "Lord, I want to be that man who's wholly committed." He was inspired by what he had heard. He was challenged by the example of Mr. Varley and of what George Mueller had told him. What I'd like to talk about during this session is we've been talking about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the past when I've been here, and going through some of those events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when we find him praying. And I have to say, I have thoroughly enjoyed this study. Never knew how in-depth or how many times we actually find the Lord Jesus praying. Have you ever noticed those times? Have you ever gone through and as you're reading? I know probably the thing I was guilty of before doing this study was kind of glossing over those times. Maybe reading it, but not really thinking about this was the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, in human form, praying. John, I'll try to wrap your arms around that a little bit. The fact that he's praying. And, you know, I think I've said this before, is if there was one person who did not need to pray, who would it be? The Lord Jesus. I mean, he knew the will of God. He would always do the will of God. He would never give in to temptation. He was absolutely perfect. And yet we find him praying. It's real incredible. It's a wonderful study I have enjoyed. We've looked at the early life of the Lord Jesus, the commencement of his ministry, his early ministry, different times throughout his ministry that we see him praying. And I'm not going to rehearse all of those. But what I'd like to look at today is prayer that inspires others to pray. That's what really spoke to me about this particular event in Luke chapter 11. When I first started doing the study, I really thought of it in two ways. And the first part was the inspirational part of it, the prayer that inspires. And the second part is prayer with the instruction, because that's what follows here in this passage. In fact, most of the passage deals with his instruction about prayer. But let me tell you the thing that really spoke to my heart was prayer that inspires others to pray. And so that's really the focus that I'd like to look at this morning. And really, we only need to look at a couple of verses. And let's start in verse number 1, Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. And now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so beginning in verse number 2, and he said to them, and when you pray, and so on, and we go through and we find the instruction to pray. But before the instruction was given, what happened first? They were inspired to want to know about prayer. To not just, and notice what the question that they asked him. As they saw him praying, that's when it happened. And now it came to pass, as he was praying. It wasn't that they just wanted the intellectual understanding of what to do or the mechanics of prayer or the types of prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, I think along with that question was a desire to know more about prayer and teaching on prayer, because we see him following up with that. But before the teaching came, the inspiration came for them to want to pray. And they saw that in the life of the Lord Jesus. So right off the bat, I remember just being struck with this as I read it. I wonder, is my life an inspiration to others that they would ever come to me and say, man, teach me to pray like you pray. Have you ever thought of that before? You know, so many times we can get caught up with the instructions and the how-tos and the whys and all of these things. But you know, all of the instruction and all that is important. But if I'm not really inspired to pray, that's not going to mean a thing to me, is it? And there's where we see the Lord in his example inspiring his disciples to not just want to pray, but to come to him and ask about it. I mean, they saw such an example of prayer in his life. And this is where it really strikes me that as many times as I read through the Gospels and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and breezed over those times when we see him praying, the disciples lived it. They weren't just reading about things that happened. They were right there. They watched him. They saw him. They heard him. They saw him on the times when he would go off all by himself and pray. and it inspired them to ask the question, teach us to pray. Now, by way of review, thinking about some of the things that we have learned about with his prayer that would have inspired them, they had seen him rise up early in the morning to pray. Have you ever gotten up real early in the morning to pray? Have you ever had something so heavy on your heart that you couldn't even sleep, that you got up in the morning to pray? Or maybe you got up simply because, you know, I want to be disciplined in my prayer life. And so rather than giving up a little bit of sleep, I'm going to get up early in the morning. We see the Lord Jesus. That would have inspired his disciples. Even when the Lord was being blessed, as it were, when his ministry was, when crowds and multitudes were coming around, you may recall we looked at a situation when that happened. And you know what our natural tendency is when the Lord is blessing, when things are going great? Our natural tendency is to be less dependent sometimes, to be less prayerful because we see the Lord working, to feel like we're in less need of his help. But the Lord himself, even when the multitudes were gathering, you know what he did? He pulled away to a quiet place by himself and he prayed. He prayed. The disciples saw that. On one occasion, we see the Lord Jesus going out and spending the entire night in prayer. Boy, is that convicting or what? If the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was inspired to go out and felt the need to go out and to pray all night, how much more should I? He actually went out and spent the whole night in prayer. The disciples would have seen that. And that would have inspired them as well. When the religious leaders began their rejection of him, he didn't complain or question. You remember what he did? He prayed. He prayed. They would have seen that as well. The disciples, when they looked out of the crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children, that could have been for them it was very discouraging. They were like, it was an impossible situation to them. But what did the Lord do? He prayed and he gave thanks. And the Lord blessed and provided. They saw that. They would have seen that. What an inspiration to them. Even when the people wanted to take him by force and make him king, right after that incident with the 5,000. They were like, man, we want this guy to be our king. Look what he can do. He can provide for us. But you remember what the Lord did? That would have been a real temptation, you know, to go and to be made king, to bypass the cross, as it were, and to be exalted to be the king. What a temptation that could have been to him. But no, you remember what he did? He went out and he prayed. He went out to a quiet place in the mountain and he prayed. All the while, we see the Lord praying throughout his entire life. Even, we referred to this earlier in the Lord's, when we were remembering the Lord, somebody referred to the time when he was on the mountain and he was transfigured before them. Do you remember what he was doing right before that? He was praying. The Lord was praying. So they saw him praying all of these times. And even here in Luke chapter 11, here he is praying, and his consistent prayer life inspired them. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Have you ever asked the Lord that? Lord, just teach me to pray. Just challenge me. Teach me. Inspire my heart to want to pray more and to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see him being committed and consistent in his prayer life, which would have challenged them as well. Does the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ inspire you to want to pray? I hope it does. I hope that the times that we have looked at have already been an inspiration to you. And I hope as we look further at this one that it will do the same as well. Prayer, I think, is something that is just as much as caught as it is taught. Would you agree with that? You know, when you stop to think about the people that you respect, that you have known over the years as prayer warriors, you don't have to really stop and think about that, who it is, do you? I mean, it comes right to your mind just like that, doesn't it? You immediately think, I think of Miss Nona Earnhardt immediately. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But you talk about somebody who is a prayer warrior from the chapel in Greensboro. If you wanted somebody to be pray for you, everybody knew you go to Miss Nona. Go to Miss Nona. She was known as a prayer warrior. Many others I could name off like that. But what is important is not so much who they were, is that the inspiration that they are to so many to say, I want to be like that. I want to pray like that. And so that challenges me. Am I like the Lord Jesus? That people would look at my prayer life and be challenged to want to be a prayer warrior just like that. Is my prayer life contagious in that way? Does my commitment and my practice in prayer inspire others in their prayer life as well? Do they see that it's a priority in my life? Or is it a matter of convenience? You know, it's a sad thing that in many assemblies, what we see happening is which meeting tends to dwindle the most. It's the prayer meeting, isn't it? And it's a sad thing that it happens that way, but I think it's true in a lot of places, and probably in most places. I know it's true in Greensboro. It is probably the meeting that we struggle the most in as far as attendance is prayer. Now, I know we pray on our own, and that's essentially what we're talking about, is the time that we pray on our own. But nonetheless, I would think that public example, that public commitment, a lot of times is a reflection of the private sector, what we do on our own sometimes as well. And of course, we recognize that some people can't be there because of work or schedules, and that's not the issue. But you know what I'm talking about, is that commitment to pray, that commitment to pray, to want to pray. And does my life reflect that, that others would see that kind of commitment and that it would be contagious and they would see that as a priority? What I'd like for us to do for next few moments that we have is turn to 2 Kings chapter 1 and thinking about an example that was an inspiration to a young man and how the impact that it had on him and for us to be challenged likewise. Turn to, if you would, 2 Kings chapter 1. King Ahaziah was sick and he had sent messengers to ask the God of Ekron if he would recover. And Elijah intercepted them, and he sent word back from the God of heaven that he was not going to recover, but that he was going to die. Well, of course, King Ahaziah didn't like that, and he didn't like exactly getting that bad news, as it were. And so you remember what he did is he sent a group of 50 of his men to go and to capture Elijah. And so let's break into verse number 9 of 2 Kings chapter 1. And then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. And so he went up to him, and there he was, sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, what did he refer to him? Man of God. One of the things that Elijah would have been known as, that we can easily see in the scripture, is that he was a man of God. That was the reputation. That was who he was. He was a man of God. The king had said, come down. And so Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And then he sent to him another captain of 50 and his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, man of God, thus said the king. The king said, come down quickly. And so Elijah answered and said to him, if I am a man of God, let fire. And you probably are familiar with the story. And this happens three times. And the last time, the man comes and he bleeds for his life because he's like, we're setting a precedent here. There's a pattern here, and I don't want to be a part of that pattern. And he pleads for his life, and he knows that this is indeed a man of God. When you think about Elijah, and you think about all that you have learned from the Scripture about Elijah, does he inspire you? Do some of these great people in the Scripture and their walk with God and how God used them in powerful ways, does it inspire you? He was a man of God. You men or you women out there, what would you consider to be a compliment? What kind of compliment would you like to get? Wouldn't it be nice if it, not for ourselves, but for the glory of God, if people looked at us and said, man, that's a man of God. That is a woman of God. What a compliment. And here was a man who was a man of God, and it was very clear God was working in and through this man. And he inspired others. Well, we could go on about different situations. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you remember the widow at Zarephath the son had died. And you remember all the way through there, she said, now I know that this is a man of God. It was clear he is a man of God. We could look at the situation. Remember when he challenged the prophets of Baal and the false prophets, 450 and 400, challenged them on Mount Carmel as far as who would be the one true God to answer by fire. And of course, we see God answering Elijah's prayer by fire. He was a man of God, and he was a man of prayer. Wouldn't you say the two of those go together? To be a man of God and to be a man of prayer. And he was an inspiration to others. Here's the interesting twist on this. After that event, what happens to Elijah? He runs for his life because Jezebel is threatening his life. And so he runs and he goes and he's all depressed and feels like he's all alone. But God comes to him and encourages him and strengthens him. And you remember what he tells him? He says, he tells him how many more there were, even though he felt alone, that there were 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. You ever wonder where those 7,000 came from? Perhaps it was because of the influence of this godly man. Maybe some of those were influenced to continue on because it was contagious, because the Lord working, the power of the Lord being present in his life, and it being evident that this wasn't an ordinary man, this was a man of God. So then you remember how God tells Elijah to go and to seek out Elisha to train and to be his replacement. And when we come down to where the end of Elijah's life is drawing to a close, what happens? You remember what happens? Elijah is going to move on to the next city, and he tells Elisha, who has been following him and been watching him, learning, being inspired by him. And he says, Elisha, you can stay behind as I move on. But what does Elisha say? No, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you. And he goes on to the next place. And then Elijah says, Elisha, you can stay behind. I'm going to move on to the next place. And Elisha says, no, I am going to stay with you. And then right before he is to be taken up in that chariot of fire, you remember he asks Elisha, what request would you make? What would you ask for? And what does he ask for? Who remembers what he asked for? A double portion. He asked for a double portion of his spirit. And the interesting thing is when you follow the life of Elisha, what happens is you see it's like things double, and the things that the miracles and everything about his life is just that, an evident that he would receive that double portion of Elijah's spirit. Why would he ask for that? Because he was inspired by the life of Elijah. He wasn't going to stay behind. He wasn't going to leave him. He wanted to stay close to him. Because when he saw the life of Elijah, he was like, I want that in my life. And I believe that's exactly what happened in the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples as they watched his prayer life. They were so inspired that that's exactly what they wanted. So our challenge that I would bring to us today is twofold. First of all, is look for somebody that inspires you. Who is it that inspires you? Whether it is somebody who is that you would really look up to as a man of God or as a woman of God. Reach out to that person and go just like we see Elisha going to Elijah and saying, I want a double portion of your spirit. And to ask the Lord to maybe develop that relationship where that person can teach and you can learn from that person and be inspired by that person. We can also look at the other side of the challenge is not only that we can reach out to somebody to inspire us, but then there's the challenge is how does my life inspire others, particularly in this area of prayer? The area of prayer. And you know, as I was thinking about this whole subject, about Elijah particularly, you might think, well, you know, it's easy to see the Lord Jesus inspiring others. He's the Son of God, right? Certainly He's going to inspire others. It's easy to see a man like Elijah, a great prophet, inspiring others. Look at his life. Certainly that would inspire anybody. But what about me? Could I have an inspiration? Could I inspire others in any way? Well, the book of James answers that. Because it says that Elijah was a man of like passions just like you and I. He was no different than you and I. He had the same flesh to deal with that you and I deal with. He was a man of like passions just like us. And the Lord can use us to be an inspiration. Do you believe that? Do you want to be? Do I want to be that kind of an inspiration to others, particularly as it comes to prayer? We need prayer warriors in the assemblies today, don't we? We need strong people who are committed to prayer. Not because that it's all about us, because it's about Him. That's why. It's about Him and Him doing the work. We can work and we can plan and all of those things and train and we can do all of those things and they're all important, aren't they? But without prayer, you know, you remember what Jesus said, without me we can do what? Nothing. Without Him we can do nothing. But on the flip side, with God all things are possible. Facing an impossible situation in your life or in the assembly, that should inspire us to want to be that example in prayer. Let me ask you something. And I'm asking you because I know the answer in my own life. If you had to say the area in your life where you have struggled the most as a believer, what would it be? Would it be prayer? Would it be that those basic things that we know as believers, that time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer, don't you think those most basic fundamental things is where the devil is going to fight us the most, where our flesh is going to fight us the most, the things that we need the most? So I would extend that challenge to you as I have been challenged as well, to be inspired by the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never be up to His standard, will we? We're never going to measure up to His standard, but to be inspired to be like Him and to want our prayer lives to be as powerful as we can while we're here on this earth. Let's pray to that end. Father, we just thank You for Your Word and for the challenge that it brings to us. We confess that we're weak. We confess probably, if others are like me, that we have failed. Sometimes awful in prayer, been inconsistent at times, been lazy at times. Lord, I pray that You'll challenge us, that You'll inspire us. As we see the example of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these examples in His life of prayer, may we be inspired. Lord, truly, teach us to pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.